for questions connected to the three messages I have given, so I can have a chance to clarify. Are you with me? I know people have, you're curious about many things. How tall was Adam? What were the color of Eve's eyes? All that sort of stuff. But let's focus the questions on the three messages I have presented. What was the title from last night? He's a king. This morning, the high cost of living. This evening, better than the bill. You have any questions from last night? Well, let me leave it up to you. Questions. Someone is supposed to have a roving mic. All right, there we go. My brother, what's your question?
You had mentioned last night about Gabriel taking the place of Satan.
Yes.
When he had fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea, scripturally, spirit of prophecy, who the other covering cherub is that's insinuated in the sanctuary?
Mm-hmm. All right, when you say the other covering cherub, yes, in Exodus 25, verse 17 to 19, and that's the 20, when God told Moses, make the ark. The mercy seat had two cherubim on either side, one on either side, facing each other but looking down. Now, that is interesting because Ezekiel 28, verse 14 says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth one, and I have set thee so. So it seems to me, I say seems to me, that at one point there was only one, Lucifer. Thou art the anointed cherub, and I have set thee so. That's as far as I can go with it. Someone else, God bless you. And your lovely wife. Yes, my dear sister. By the way, tell me your name when you ask a question. What's your name? Sam. Brother Sam, God bless you. Yes, sister, what's your name?
I'm Arla.
Say it again.
Arla.
How do you spell that?
A-R-L-A.
Oh, Arla. All right, mm-hmm. Sister Arla, what's your question?
You said in the, when they were in the garden, how did they know it was Jesus, not God? I mean, was that something within them that they were...
Well, you see, Adam and Eve had open communication with... They knew Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They knew. We have to assume they knew. You understand? So Adam would know that a person who came to him was a son. They knew because they had face-to-face communication with angels and with the Godhead. Mm-hmm. So he must have known. Someone else. Yes. Brother?
My name is Paul.
A good Bible name, Brother Paul.
I was listening to you tonight, and you said that Jesus died because of Adam and his actions.
And sin.
Yeah, and sin, yes. Mm-hmm. So if Adam did not commit sin,
mm-hmm.
would God have, or Jesus have died for Eve since she committed?
No. Well, no, I'm not saying no. Let me say this. Sin did not affect the world until Adam sinned. Okay. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Romans 5:12, for as by one man, sin entered into the world. That's why Christ came to die. Now, Ellen White makes a very interesting statement. I don't recall where she said, if Lucifer had repented, God would have put him back in his position. Now, if he would have done that for Lucifer, surely he should have done that for Eve. You see, Adam messed up. Let me explain with all respect for husbands, and I'm one. The Bible says the husband is the savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. Now, when Eve sinned and came to Adam, Adam should have started to save her by saying, listen, I love you, but this is wrong. Let me go talk to God for you. Let me intercede on your behalf. But he just jumped in with her and sinned. The Bible says she was deceived. He wasn't. He sinned cold-bloodedly. His sin plunged us into the mess we're in. So, the biblical evidence suggests to me, my good brother Paul, Christ died because of Adam's sin. Mm-hmm.
One more question. I'm
yes.
Sorry. I've heard some messages that say that Adam was there when she ate of the fruit. Is that correct?
That's based on Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the sight and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, it doesn't mean that he was right there because the verse says husband with her. You see, with means that you are together, but not necessarily geographically or spatially. You're just together. So Adam could not have been there and allowed her to do that. You see, the spirit of prophecy tells us that Satan went after Eve. Clearly, he had some suspicion he could get her. The angels told Eve, don't leave the side of Adam. You're safe at his side. Are you with me? She left his side. Not deliberately. She wandered around looking at all the flowers, trying to decorate the kitchen, I guess. And then she got up by the tree and got into trouble. But the angels told her, do not leave. By the way, ladies, that's a lesson for you. A lot of women get into trouble because they want to argue with some man who comes up and makes a proposal. You know, why did you say that to me? That's none of your business. Just get out of there. Call the police. Do something. Go to your husband. Learn to find protection next to your God-fearing husband. Are you with me? Because Eve then, modern Eves are no different from that ancient Eve. Women love to have all the I's and the T's and the I's crossed or whatever you cross and dot. And that can get you into trouble. If you read verse 6 and compare it with verse 9 of chapter 2, verse 9 says, and out of the ground, the Lord God caused the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. In verse 6 of chapter 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was not good for food because God said, don't eat it. But she saw it as good for food because she discussed the matter with the devil. Do not discuss anything with the devil and his agents. Christ Triumphant, page 190, paragraph 4, Ellen White writes, Christ had been warned not to enter into argument with Satan. Now, if the Father had to warn Jesus, don't argue with that man. What about you? Run from sin, temptation, don't require an explanation for anything. And ladies, your safety is next to your spiritual husband, your God-fearing husband. Thank you, Paul. Someone else? Oh, there's a sister right back here. Was there someone up front? Oh, okay. All right. Yes.
I guess I need a little bit of clarity.
Your name, please.
Sheila.
Who?
Sheila.
Sheila. Yes, Sheila. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I understand that when we have sin, mm-hmm. it separates us from God.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had mentioned in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
When it separated them from mm-hmm. God and the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's just a little confusing mm-hmm. because when Lucifer,
mm-hmm.
when iniquity was found in him,
mm-hmm.
is that not sin? And how mm-hmm. was he able to still be in the presence of God with
He was sin? In heaven, not necessarily the presence of God. He was in heaven. Now, you and I are in the presence of God now. Do you understand me? You understand what I'm saying? Nothing escapes God's knowledge. We are in the presence of God. But Lucifer, after sin, could not enter the full presence of God. No, he couldn't do that. He could go to heaven. And he went from time to time. When the sons of God came to present themselves in Job 1, verse 6, and Job 2, verse 1, he appeared. But that doesn't mean he was right in the presence of God, but God spoke to him. But we have to understand, sin separates, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, no matter who the sin is in. So he could not have been in the presence of God, because Hebrews 12, 29 tells us, our God is a consuming fire. The presence of God consumes sin. He would have been consumed had he been in the full presence of God. But God can speak to you from anywhere. So Lucifer could not, after sin, stand in the presence of God. Can't do it. Not even Enoch could have done that without Christ as a mediator. And Enoch walked with God. Cannot do it. That's how serious God is about sin. Someone else. Thank you, Sister Sheila. Someone else.
Hi, my name is Maura. And
hello, Maura. Spell Maura.
M-A-U-R-A.
Okay, Maura. Never heard that. Okay, Maura.
My question is, uh-huh. What if you don't have a God-fearing husband?
Mm-hmm. You have a God-fearing Savior. There's Jesus. There's Jesus, my dear sister. There's the Word of God. And there's Christ. Yes, indeed. That's my simple answer. There is God's Word to guide you. Study the experience of Eve. Then whether there's a husband or not, you know what you ought to do. Now, it's good to have a husband if the Lord so arranges it for you. But until he comes, you have God's Word. Even when he comes, you still have God's Word. That's why I said God-fearing. Because not all husbands go by God's Word. Are you following me? Okay, the same way Eve got Adam into trouble, there are some Adams who get Eve into trouble. Thank you, Sister Maura. Yes, Sister Diane, I think it is. You have a mic coming for you, Sister Diane?
In kind of defense of Adam.
Yes. Oh, okay.
If he wasn't with Eve,
uh-huh.
How would he have known that the fruit that was offered to him was from the tree that was not to be eaten from?
Well, he knew. He knew. We don't have all the details, but he knew. Now, you read Patriarchs and Prophets. Eli said when Eve came, Adam realized something was wrong, and he swiftly concluded that she had been talking to the tempter. He knew something was wrong. She had no clue who she was talking to. Adam knew quickly. She had been talking to that person about whom they had been warned. He knew. He knew. For some reason, God made women different from men, so one can complement the other. And that's still the case today. She should have stuck by her husband. And the moment that animal spoke to her, she should have turned and run. I tell you, running is a good thing, way to grow spiritually. Run. Flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Run like Joseph. Run. I mean, run fast. Don't jog. Run. All right, someone else. Okay, all right. Well, let's close. God bless you. Again, I say that from my heart. God bless you. In all that you do, try to bring glory to God. In anything you do, your first question should be, how will this glorify God? Not how will this advance my career or improve my bottom line, my profits. No, your question must be, how will this glorify God? Let me tell you what I'm trying to practice, then I'll let you go. So I can glorify God in everything. I'm not an example of anything. Don't misunderstand me. Let me tell you what I've been trying to do. Before I dress, I ask God, what suit should I wear? What tie? I'm not joking. And I stand there in front of the few suits I have. I say, Father, should I wear that or that? Now, what tie should I wear? A tie can turn somebody off. Are you listening to me? Just a tie. I like that tie. Let me go to sleep. Turn people off. So I ask God, what should I wear? Let me tell you what happens to me all the time. I was telling that to a friend of mine in, where was I? I forgot. Where did you just come from? Oh, Nigeria. And I came from Nigeria on Wednesday. And I was telling him, I pray before I dress. And I told him, you do it and see what happens. So he and I, he's a preacher too. He was telling me, well, I don't always wear suits. I said, fine, but that's my uniform. We went to the airport. He took me to the airport in Lagos, the capital of Nigeria. And we went to this immigration man. And the man said to me, you're a pastor. So why do you say that? He said, the way you dress. The way you dress. And I went to another person in the same airport. And I went to security, you see, and these things went off. I said, so the thing sounded, so I immediately went into, you know, hands up. And he said, no, it's okay, prophet. Mine can't be prophet. You're a prophet. I was in South Africa. I was going to preach on the campus, University of Witwatersrand. I pronounced that badly. So I stopped to buy some gum. You know, people from the U.S. are always chewing. That's how they identify it overseas, chewing gum. And to buy a little bottle of juice. So there were two little stores, a gas station with a convenience store, and another little store next to the gas station. So I went to the gas station. I said to the lady, may I have a bottle of juice? So she went right to where the liquor was. And she brought the juice. I said, is that juice or liquor? It's close to the liquor. She said, no, it's juice. I would never give you liquor. I said, why not? She said, you're a preacher. How did you know that? She said, but it's the way you look. I left that store. Now, God is listening to me. Went to the next store because she didn't have gum. I said, good afternoon. He said, good afternoon, Pastor. I said, I'm getting tired of it now. I said, how? Why do you say that? He said, but the anointing is all over you. I was on a plane going somewhere. Sat next to a young lady. She looked, are you a preacher? Why did you ask me that? She said, you look like one. I'm telling the truth. Now, I'm saying all that to say, let's ask God about everything. Are you with me? When you go to the store to buy your dress, ladies, let me talk to you. If... Sheila, God bless you. Okay. Listen to me carefully. If women would ask God what to buy, they would not buy the shoes they buy. Are you listening to me? I was at a church. God let you go. And these women want shoes, I mean this high. And I looked at one of them and I said, Lord, if she wanted to commit suicide, she doesn't have to jump off a building. Just jump off those shoes. Are you with me? And she's dead. The things are so high. And I said, no, she didn't pray. And these dresses, listen to me, you pray and see how your buying changes. I said, Father, what can I buy that glorifies you? What suit can I buy? What tie can I buy? What should I wear to church that says Christian, not that says hot, that says Christian? You know, in Exodus 22, verse 8, when God gave Moses instructions for the outfit of Aaron. Now, Aaron was the older brother. Are you with me? But God taught Moses represented God to Aaron. We read that in Exodus chapter 4, verse 16. Because Moses told Aaron what to do. And whoever tells you what to do is your God. And you obey. Now, God told Moses, and thou shalt make holy garments for Moses, for Aaron, for glory and for beauty. Two things in a specific order. You must make holy garments for whom? Aaron. What was Aaron's office? What are we, a kingdom of?
Priests.
For glory and for beauty. Now, what is glory? The character of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. God's amazing grace, page 322, paragraph 2. The glory of God is His image. The glory of God is His character. And so, Aaron's clothes were to be made to reflect, first, God's character. Secondly, beauty, because God is the God of beauty. But we reverse that, and we shop for beauty. And very often we forget glory. That's what I'm saying to you is this. When you're at the supermarket, Father, help me to shop to your glory. Then you put that shrimp back. Are you with me? And the lunch meat. And what? And the pork chops. And the cow heel. And yes, sister, you do that. I'll come right to you. The question that guides you, God's glory. When you get home tonight, you turn on the TV. I know you're going to turn it on. You say, Father, what can I watch to your glory? And then you turn it off. All right, you may watch the news. That's fine. News gives us insight into prophecy being fulfilled. But beyond that, what are you going to watch? What will bless my mind? What will improve me spiritually? Kim Kardashian? No. So, Father, how can I watch to your... And listen to me. If we ask that question, our behaviors will change. Let me leave you alone. Okay. Yes, sister. Yes. All right, sister. Okay. No more sin. Right. Iniquity shall not rise a second time. Right. Yes, that I might not sin against thee. Oh. Well, you see, sister, all of us have a memory. Now, Seventh-day Adventists are known for which commandment? What does it say? What's the first word of that commandment? That's a command to do what? Use your memory. Are you with me? It's a command to use your memory. Anything you use improves by use. Even if you're 90 and you go to the gym, you'll build some muscle. Now, you won't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but you'll build some muscle. Are you following me now? We're commanded to use our memory. Sister, where do you live? How far away is that? How far away? How many miles? Do you know how to get there? You know every left turn and right turn. You memorize that. In your bedroom, you know where your socks are, your blouse, your hat. You know where you can find them with your eyes closed. You've memorized a map of your house. Actually, you can walk to your house blindfolded if you live there for any time. You know your telephone number. You memorize it. You know your birthday. You memorize it. Your husband's birthday. You know. We memorize all kinds of things. Why is memorization of the scripture such a mystery? Ellen White writes in Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 2, page 601, paragraph 4, that which at first seems difficult, by constant repetition grows easy. You can bring that down to practice makes perfect. Sister, it's just over and over and over. I do it every day, all day. Sometimes if I turn my iPad on, it takes about 20 seconds to come up. I recite some verses while I'm waiting for those 20 seconds. In other words, you're trying to use all the time you can. The instant I get into a car, I've conditioned myself to this. I start doing two things, pray or recite in my head. The moment I sit, whether I'm driving or being driven, I start doing two things, pray, recite. The moment I sit on the plane, pray, recite. You can develop that practice. And so I have told God, I will always try. Every day, I don't let a day go by without either trying to learn something new, not because I have to preach, just to learn it, or to review something I know, because you've got to go over this all the time. And so, my dear sister, I just recommend it for you. I have some friends who told me I can never memorize. I said, don't say that, because you hear yourself say it, and then you can't get that statement out of your mind. Simply say, I have chosen not to do it. That's a different thing to put into your head. And they've started, and they've memorized chapters, chapters, chapters. One young lady, I always talk about her in Kenya, and she said, I can't memorize. I said, don't say that. No, I can't. I said, start. I gave her 3 John, 14 verses. When she got the first 5, she sent me an email. She said, I am so excited. I've memorized the first 5 verses. Then she further 3 John. I gave her 2 John, John 14. I gave all these chapters. Then I gave her the book of Jonah, did a whole chapter. And so that's all she does. And she told me her life has changed because all day she's either praying or reciting no matter what else she's doing. There's a friend of mine. She is a grown lady, has 4 children, a grandchild. She was also impressed to start memorizing. I encourage her. She's working on the book of James now. Memorized several chapters. She's on the book of James, which has 5 chapters, written by the brother of Jesus, by the way. What I suggest to you, try. Try. If you just stick with it, God will bless your effort. He'll bless your effort. So yes, Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. What I do with Ellen White, I have a recreational activity I do. I just go through her books, reading, looking for nice statements. When I find them, I cut and paste and I memorize them. And I have a file on my iPad, pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of Ellen White's quotations, which I just love to memorize. So, I recommend 4 things, 4 D's. First, desire. If you have the desire, you know, when God came down to see the tower that the children of men built at the Tower of Babel, He said in verse 6 of Genesis 11, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. When you make up your mind to do something, only God can stop you. That's desire. There's also determination. Let's say you try to memorize John 11:35. 6 weeks, you can't get it. You stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it. If it takes you 9 months, you're determined, you do it. You know what John 11:35 says? Jesus wept. 2 words. So you try. You stay with it. You stay with it. 6 months until you get it. Determination. The other thing is discipline. What's discipline? If there's an earthquake, you do it. If there's a flood and you're in the flood, you still do it. If there's a fire, you do it. Discipline might best be defined by the Nike slogan, which they no longer use, which was what? Just do it. Discipline doesn't care if you're sick, or it's your wedding day, or your divorce day. Just do it. That's discipline. And the 4th D, divine power. Ask God to help you. Never open God's word without praying. Because there are 2 spirits present. One to enlighten you, one to mislead you. Always pray before reading this. And you try that, sister. I recommend some chapters from the book of John. I recommend memorizing chapters so you have something to dwell on. If you can memorize 50 isolated verses, you can memorize 3 John, that's 14 verses. 2 John, that's 13 verses. You can memorize a few little books. Never do it to show off. Do it for the glory of God. You can use it for your own spiritual protection, to encourage someone. Just to have God's word in your head is protection against Alzheimer's. I'm not joking. There's something divine in your head. A study was done on the brains of cab drivers in London. Now, you have to train 3 years to get a license in London to drive a cab. You have to know the shortest distance to get anywhere in the entire city of London. What's the shortest distance to get from where you pick up the passenger to the destination? And the study shows taxi cab drivers in London have a larger frontal lobe because of all the memorizing of streets they have to do. It affects the brain, and they're not memorizing spiritual stuff. What about those of us who memorize spiritual stuff? It affects the brain. You can't have something divine in your head and you not benefit. So try, sister. I suggest the King James Version of the Bible. Not the New King James, the King James. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to do that because I have to preach. So I can't keep going through the whole chapter till I find the verse. So I memorize, I try to learn where each individual verse is. Mm-hmm. But start at your own level. Don't try to do it like somebody else. Do it the way you can. God does not believe in competition. He believes in self-development. Do it, and you will be surprised. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, my dear brother. Your name is? Spell it. Oh, Abra. Okay, Abra. A-B-A-R. Abra. Oh, Abner. You know, that military guy in the days of David. Okay, Brother Abner. What's your question? Mm-hmm. By studying it, one day at a time. You see, then your love for it grows. Now, you have to study and obey it. Don't just study it as though you're studying a Shakespearean play. You study it and you see, the primary reason for studying the Bible is to discover God's will for your life. So as you discover. You want to discover more. What does God want me to do? And so that love for God's word grows because the Bible has the answer to all the questions you have that are meaningful in your life. It's a handbook of how to do this, how to do that, how to find a husband, how to raise your children, how to grow in grace, how to be economically sound, how to be healthy, how to get along with your enemies, how to get along with your neighbors. You know, it is a how-to book for every area of life. And what's obvious to you, the Holy Spirit will reveal. This is the guidebook for how to live your life. And so day by day, Brother Abner, as you study, your love for it grows. Mm-hmm. Nothing else we've got to do but study it and obey it. Yes. Mhm. Yes. Yes, Sister Diane. Yes. Mhm. Okay. Mhm. God bless you. God bless you. Here's my recommendation. Yes, when you start, yes, and something is missing. The last thing at night should be God's word on your mind. If your husband tells you something, answer him, then recite a verse in your head. No, I'm serious. No matter what he says something again, say, yes, honey, then say another verse. Let the last words you hear be God's word. Because Elohim says reading the Bible is like listening to the voice of God. No matter who talks to you, say, yes, 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 then recite a verse. A young lady came to me, I was somewhere in the world. She said, I don't sleep. Demons attack me at night and I can't sleep. Months I haven't slept. I gave her 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I gave her Revelation 12:7-9. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was the place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out. I told her, you meditate on those verses. Save them, think about them. What do they mean? Engage your mind. Last thing at night. Especially 1 John 3:8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy. She came back the next day. She said, I slept for the first time in months. This, 3:8, yes. This is what Jesus used when the devil came. The devil has no power against God's word. None. None. All right, well, we need to go. Okay, my good brother. Please tell us your name. B. Bill. Hello, Brother Bill.
As to using the King James Version,
that
has been a point of debate at times. I just want to know why you say that.
Okay, it's my personal preference. I read other versions. You know, you study, you should read other versions to see what they say. Because, you know, they can help you. One of the reasons I like the King James Version, one, it is in the public domain. What does that mean? Anyone, you can print it. Now, it's not in the public domain in England. It's under the control of the Queen. The United States is in the public domain. You can print it, do whatever you like. You can make your own King James, and there's no legal problem. Secondly, it was brought out, one of the reasons it was brought out was to fight against the growing influence of Catholicism in England. You see? They wanted a Bible that could be used to counteract, because Rome was trying to take England back. Remember when Henry VIII, in the 1500s, wanted a divorce so he can marry another woman, the Pope said no. Henry VIII said, wait a minute, I'm the King of England, why am I going to a guy in Italy? And so he decided to leave the Catholic Church and form the Church of England with him as the head. That's why England still has the Church of England with the Queen at the head. The Church in Rome, the Catholic Church, from that point tried to get England back under the control of the Catholic Church. And so the King James, one of its reasons was for being made, was also to counteract, to have a Bible that can try to counteract the influence of the Catholic attempts to bring England back under the Catholic umbrella. It is also the finest example of English in the entire world. Finest. And the these and the thous cause you to concentrate. You know, people say, I can't say these and thous, but I studied Greek. And I studied German. And I studied French, but I can't say thee and thou. Studies have shown that this book is easier to read than other versions. Because this Bible has more monosyllabic words. What does that mean? Monosyllabic words, what does that mean? Words with one syllable. You see, for a version to count as a version, a change has to be substantial enough for it to be a version. Are you with me? You must make substantial changes for it to qualify legally as a version. And so you bring in some words that are longer than... And so this has been shown to be easier to read. Also, with the introduction of all these verses, studies have shown Bible memorization has gone down. People don't know which one to use. Reading the Bible in church as a whole family has stopped. Because this person has NIV, this NASB, this one has ESV, this one has the Living One, this one has the Clear Word, this one has the Unclear Word. You have all these Bibles. And so the church can't read. The church can't read. But for hundreds of years, the church read from this. By the way, I'll tell you one other thing that I've done. If you had to pick one Bible only to defend our teachings, the only one could come close is this one. Not the NIV by a long stretch. Actually, the NIV is used most by those who attack our teachings. Let me say it again. If you can have one Bible alone to defend particularly our sanctuary doctrines, the only one that comes close is this one, the King James Version. Okay. God bless you, my dear brother. Yes, sister? Kevin? Yes. Oh, James and Jude. Yes. Half-brothers, you know, the children of Joseph. Yes. James and Jude. Yes. Yes. You find them listed in Matthew 13, verse 55, I think. And he had four brothers, so there were five boys. At least two sisters, because the Bible says sisters. Mary and Joseph. He came from a family of nine people, so he understands a large family. He also understands when your family does not believe you. Because in John 8, 7, verse 5, the Bible says, neither did his brethren believe in him. They didn't at one point. Before he died, they did. But at one point, they did not, and they harassed him. Mm-hmm. All right. This is interesting, but we have to go. I have to go and rest. In all the traveling I do, I rest as much as I can. I need to go to my room and snore as musically as I possibly can. Thank you. I've been highly honored. I mean that from my heart. God bless you. Let me say a special word for children. Teach them the Word. Teach them the Word at a young age, because they grow fast. One more story and I'm done. I keep saying that. There's a family in South Africa. I met them in South Korea. Talk about them all the time. Two boys and a little girl. I told the mother, she wants to raise them the right way. I said, listen, do not let your children watch TV for any reason. Not 3ABN, not Amazing Facts, not ADTV, nothing. Do not let them develop the habit of sitting in front of a screen. I said, if there's something on 3ABN that's good, you watch it. You learn it, then you teach it to them. Are you with me? Don't let them sit in front of, for any reason at all. And she stopped. And the husband agreed. Very lovely couple. And they turned, TV has never been turned off in about 2 or 3 years. Turned it off. I said, no news, no radio, nothing. Just this, the sound of birds, the outdoors, which L.O.I. says should be the first book of a child. When she started this no TV stuff, she said the first week was a little ticklish, you know, children. She said after a week, because she writes me regular reports of the children and they're growing, regular reports, and of her studies, because I recommend she study certain books. She said after a week, they forgot the TV. And all they ever talk about is what she teaches them, which is the Bible. She said one of her boys, who's probably 7 now, 1, 7, 1, 5, recites chapters of Job. And he has this mind, he makes spiritual applications like that. And I told her, take them out, let them understand who made grass, who made the clouds, who made the sky, who made the trees. Let that be your classroom. And she has been doing that. Then she got pregnant with a third child. And I sent a rebuke to them. I said, look, 2 children are enough. Why do you have 3? I really did. I wrote a rebuke. And they wrote back and apologized. I said, Pastor, we're sorry. No more children. Yeah, they did. But they know I love them. So I said, why do you have a third child? Why? We didn't plan it. But okay. So they said, no more. Okay. I said, now, here's what you do. Let your little sons come and read the Bible to your belly. Are you with me? Let them understand they have a sister or brother in there. Let them sing hymns, read, so that they develop a sense of responsibility for that little baby that's developing. And they will do that. Now, the little girl is about 1.5 years now. And when she's taken out and she hears the birds, she starts singing. And the mother sent me a tape of the boys reciting scripture and tried to send a tape of the little girl developing tunes as the father plays the tunes of birds or takes them out. It's a remarkable story developing in South Africa. And I prayed and I said, Lord, I just can't wait to see what those boys will be like at 17 and 18. She was asked, the husband was asked to speak at a church. And the wife went, you know, with the 2 boys. She didn't have the little girl yet. And the church observed how the 2 little boys sat, never moved. She didn't give them Kool-Aid to drink, you know, crackers to eat, you know, French fries to snack. She didn't do any of that. So the church said to her, the wife, could you give us a presentation on how to raise children? In the afternoon, she made a presentation. And she said, the church listened, because as she spoke, where was the church watching? The 2 children. And so everything she said was said with conviction, because the church could see what she was saying demonstrated in the children. And so I'm saying that to say, do your best for your children. Please. They're helpless. They need you. If you don't do for them, there's someone waiting right next to you to do something for them. You know what that person's name is? Satan. And once he gets his claws into them, you know the rest. And so save your children. Make time for them. Quality time is another way of saying a lot of time. Let's take one stanza, sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. 286, sorry, let's stand. 286. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. I want you to sing from your heart. Sing from your heart. Are you ready? Here we go. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life. have any prayer requests you'd like me to take to the throne for you day after day, write them on a piece of paper, then hand them to me. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Let God's people say amen and amen. God bless you, and may God save all of us in His kingdom when He comes.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.